You know what the drums mean, everybody. My name is Jawanza. You're listening to Jawanza for Life, also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine. It's a pleasure to have another opportunity to speak with you. Again, as I always say, I don't take you for granted. You could be doing anything, but you've taken time out of your day to spend part of it with my person and my special guest for today. If you've been following the show for a while, you know that once a month we're honored to have the privilege of speaking with a brother who is really, truly a blessing to the planet. I mean, anytime you have really taken on as your calling the work of healing people, I mean, actually healing people's illnesses, then that's one heck of a calling. I mean, because in doing so, you're helping to save families by, you know, saving the lives of the person that's sick. By getting them better, you're helping the families. I mean, you're helping the planet. I mean, anybody that's under the weather or been sick knows what it's like, and you don't appreciate your health until it's gone. But anybody who's ever been sick unto the point where the doctors had given up on you, you know that you have a strong appreciation for life. And my special guest today has actually brought somebody back from the brink. I mean, this person was staring death in the face, and my brother here, special guest for today's show, actually brought that person back, and they lived to tell about the experience and to give God the glory for being able to overcome that situation. My special guest, if you don't know by now, is King Coy Dunstan. He's owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. We're in the midst of a series, an awesome series, on the fundamentals of health. So I encourage you, if you have not yet gone back into the archives and looked at that, those shows, please do, because we've talked about fasting, we've talked about herbs. By all means, check out the overview. I mean, and today we're going to be talking about eliminating stress. Before we get started, I want to welcome all of the brand new listeners. We're constantly getting new listeners to the show, and so I want to definitely say welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much again for following the show. And for those who have yet to follow the show, if you're listening online, all you have to do is click follow, and then you will be notified every time I do a show. You'll be notified of the date, you'll be notified of the time, the guest, and the topic. The date, the time, the guest, and the topic. I want to give a special shout out to Midnight, who's tuned in today. So again, welcome, my sister, to the show. Again, welcome, invite you to follow the show, and you'll be notified as well of every show that I do. And again, tonight we're going to be talking about the fundamentals of health, eliminating stress. But let me tell you a little bit about my special guest. Again, as I mentioned, he brought somebody back from the brink of death, and that's how he actually got started in the holistic health field. But I'll let him tell his story. King Coy, welcome back to the show, my brother. As always, it's an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure to speak with you again. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate being back and appreciate the invite, and hopefully we can say something tonight that helps somebody.
Brother, I know you will. And for all of the listeners, again, as I mentioned, we're constantly getting new listeners. The family is just growing. There may be somebody out there that has not heard your testimony. It's a powerful, powerful testimony, and it can't be overstated. This is some things you just cannot overstate. You know, it's just so powerful that if you said it 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, it would still be powerful. But in today's day and age, I think it's very important that people realize that once you go to the doctor and the doctor gives you a bad report, that does not have to be a death sentence. And you're a witness to that. Brother Coy, could you talk about what got you started on the holistic health path?
Well, back in 1980, I got started on this journey when I went home to, I just graduated from law school, and I was taking a break, went home to spend some time with my parents. I got there one afternoon, and my mother had just come from the local doctor, and she was saying that he told her to go to Duke University as soon as she could because of whatever she had, he couldn't. They didn't have the facility or the ability to really determine exactly what was wrong. So he referred her to Duke University. So the next morning, my father and I got up and went to took her up to Duke University. We sit there all day waiting for them to give us a kind of a, I guess, a diagnosis of what was wrong. And toward the end of the day, they came out and said, we're going to keep her. We think we see cancer in the breast, the colon, and the liver. So Dad and I went back home, and the next day we came back up and we talked about what they were doing, and talked with my mother about how she was feeling. And after about 3 weeks, they came and told us that they'd done all they could do, and she would have to take chemotherapy or get out of the hospital. With that conversation, my dad and I and my mother, we sit down and we talked about it, and she asked me what would I do if I was her. I say, well, I would go home and get ready to meet my maker, since they've pretty much condemned you to death. Not knowing what I was saying, didn't know anything about it. I knew that the people that I knew that had taken chemotherapy was not, you know, they didn't really survive. It didn't really help them. It seemed to make them sicker. And she took my advice. We packed up, went home, and after that, I felt an obligation to do something to whatever I could. And at the time, she was kind of emotionally distraught because, you know, you've been told you're going to die or you have a disease that can't be cured. You know, that's where you go. You say you just kind of go off. And she was kind of off. So I stayed with her as long as I could, settled her down. And beyond that, I felt an obligation to do whatever I could to see that she could, whatever I could do. And I didn't know anything about nutrition or taking care of the body or nothing, none of that. I didn't know anything about it. I just stepped out, and I started looking, and I was coming back up here to D.C., and I stopped in Richmond for some reason, and I was on the street, and a fellow walked up to me. I think it was at a service station or something. I got gas or something. I can't remember exactly how we met. But it was in Richmond, and we were on the street, and he handed me a paper, and he said, if you get a chance to come by and see us, and, you know, we'll talk. I didn't pay it any mind. I took it and threw it in the car and drove back up and got back here in D.C., and I looked at the paper, and I was amazed. I said, well, this sounds like something I need to do. And I think it was that Monday night. It was the following Monday night they had a meeting, and I went to Richmond, and I was just blown away. They told me all about the herbs, the alternative healing methods, the alternative exercises, you know, how to do this and how to do that. And I was gone. I just took it, and I just got soaked up in it and started using it with my mother. And probably after about 2 to 3 months after she was out, that this herb called Partiaco came out. And it had a reputation of emptying the cancer wards in New Mexico. And everybody was raving about how it was curing cancer and all this. And I got my hands on it and gave it to my mother, and it made such a difference in it. She got much better. I mean, she kept progressively getting better and better and better. After she, you know, you sink to your low, and then you decide to live, and you start building your life back up, and decide to do something to keep living. And you know, we changed the diet, we did the fasting, we did the everything we knew to do to the praying and everything else to get the mind right to heal. So when the Partiaco came along, she was just right there ready for it. And when she got it, it just did wonders for her. They went back to the doctor. The doctor said, I don't know what to tell you, but if whatever you're doing, keep doing it. And 10 years later, she lived 10 years after that. And I was convinced that this was my calling, and I've been doing it ever since. And I can't seem to do anything else, but I'm thankful that I've been able to do it for as long as I have. And I pray that I've helped a lot of people along the way. But that's kind of how I got here, where I'm going. And, you know, sometimes you just don't know where you're going, or you don't have a road map, and you just have to, it's called faith. You have to step out on faith and just be led by what comes along and follow whatever you think you can do and just do it. And that's kind of how I got into this. And been doing it ever since. You know, I'm not a doctor. I haven't claimed to be a doctor, but I say I can. I've done some healing, and I've done some a lot of assisting people in going in the right direction when they come up with the same conditions that I have. They come up and say, I got high blood pressure or heart attack or victims or this or that or the other, and I'm able to kind of at least give them some advice about what I did and show them how they can do the same thing. And if they can follow directions, they can usually get some results or get control of themselves well enough to not to be bogged down with the disease so bad that they feel like they're going to die or it's nothing they can do about it or they don't know what to do about it. I'm able to share with them some information that maybe can help them get through the process of healing.
You know, what's interesting to me, Brother Coy, always when I hear your testimony, is that, you know, how you shared with your mother that you hadn't known anyone to ever come back from chemo or radiation. So, you know, advice would be, let's just go home and, you know, pack up and, you know, get ready to meet her maker. And
yeah,
she was okay with that. I mean, there's a lot to be said about that. I mean, she had to really be confident in how she had lived her life, that she was ready to meet her maker, you know? I mean, because if you're not living your life in a particular way, you ain't in no hurry to, you know, meet your maker, you know what I mean? Of course, even if you have lived your life in a particular way, if you've, you know, lived your life according to the tenets that you believe would allow you entry into paradise, you certainly still don't want to meet God anytime soon. But for her to be like, okay, you know, let's meet him. You know?
Exactly.
I mean, that says something for how she was living her life. So I can imagine the disappointment in her spirit when, you know, thinking that, you know, I've lived this way, I've lived a particular way for so long, I've lived a way that, I mean, I'm not a bad person, this should not happened to me. This should not be happening to me. So I can imagine the urgency that you felt when you felt, I've got to find something to relieve her, to help her, because seeing her heart broken like that had to really, really affect you.
Well, yeah, and it's just a matter of oftentimes just, you know, in North Carolina in the 80s, we weren't really tied to we grew up as sharecroppers. I grew up as a sharecropper, so we weren't really tied to a doctor. We had some knowledge of how the herbs and the plants and that kind of stuff, but in terms of being tied to a hospital or a doctor or medications or drugs, we weren't really into that much. So it wasn't too bad for her to make the transition into what we were doing, because that's what we knew. It was a matter of getting the right stuff and getting on the right path and doing the right thing and having the faith to believe that this can happen, and it did.
Well, let me ask you this: was it difficult for you to shift, because you had a shift in your life too? I mean, you had just graduated from law school, so I assume you had aspirations of being a lawyer, and then to go from, You know, I mean, that's a lot of time, energy, you know, directed in, you know, put into following that profession. And then after you saw the miracle, well, we call it a miracle because it's so rare that it happens, but it's happening more now. But to see, it's not really a miracle if you give the body what it needs and it responds. But when you saw the healing take place, I can imagine for you having been the tool in God's hand to do such an awesome, awesome thing that, you know, I mean, you, it didn't just affect you and it didn't just affect your mother.
Right.
You had a father, you know,
yeah,
you had siblings, you know what
yeah
I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, these were people that all benefited from you actually taking that leap of faith. But then was it a difficult transition for you to say, okay, I'm forget lawyering, forget law, you know, forget becoming an attorney, you know, I'm going down this other path?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I never was one to get hung up on titles or education too much. I was just in a position to do it. The law taught me how to do what I do. I use it a lot in terms of researching and validating what I'm told. I learned how to do that. And through that process, it led me into being able to apply this to the field of nutrition and healing and disease prevention and looking at the evidence in front of you. I mean, you got aunts and uncles that got diabetes, high blood pressure, and you begin to wonder why is it that my aunts and uncles, all of them have the same condition? And you begin to research a little further, and you find that it's primarily their diet. It's what they're eating and how they're eating it. And once you get through the process of sifting through where you are, looking at all the evidence and coming up with a deductive process of reasoning, you begin to understand that it is really all in your hands. You just have to convince yourself that you have to do this because no one else is going to do it for you. And once you move in that direction, you trying to convince other people of that, it can be a little challenging. But if once you help a couple of people, it gets a little easier as you go, and you can be more specific about what to do and how to do it, and you just move with it. So everything that I've learned in school or in life, I have used it all in terms of what I do every day.
Well, everybody, now you know why you're listening to King Coy Dunstan, and I guarantee you before the show is over, you may want to even just give him a call, okay, because, again, the information that we're going to be discussing today is very, very important. We're going to be talking about eliminating stress. Again, we're in the middle of a series called The Fundamentals of Health. Again, if you've missed the show on herbs and fasting and overview, please go back and listen to those shows because there's a lot of information there that you can use. But tonight, again, we're going to be talking about stress. Brother Coy, stress has been known and stated that it is the number one. I mean, every now and then you hear different things. One year they say stress is the number one killer. Then they say I've heard heart disease is the number one killer. I mean, but one could lead to the other. Stress could actually lead to heart disease. But for those who might not know what stress is, because a lot of times people use that phrase just because they might be having a bad day, you know, and then, oh, I'm stressed out, you know. What is stress when for the sake of this discussion and this series, what is stress?
Well, now we know that about 80% of the people that go to a doctor, their underlying condition is really stress. And that stress manifests itself in a lot of different ways. Stress is just the a symptom or a way of interfering with the body's normal functions. When you get stressed out, the major systems that keep the body healthy, they are under attack. So your autoimmune system or your lymphatic system gets clogged up, gets stopped up, starts backing up, and it leads to different conditions. It can be high blood pressure, it can be diabetes, it can be arthritis, whatever you name. Generally, it comes from a buildup or your body's inability to handle stress, and the effects is the name of whatever disease you have. So the idea is with stress, you have to learn how to manage stress in a way that it don't manifest itself in some disease. And that is a lesson that I think a lot of people haven't learned yet, how to manage stress and how to keep it from breaking your body down, and learning how to, I guess a lot of people, they just don't have the ability to just, or they feel like they don't have the ability to manage the stress in a way that it won't make them sick. But the main thing in terms of managing your stress, like we've talked about, the fact we've gone through fasting, we've gone through digestion, assimilation, elimination, we've gone through the brain, and it's important to understand how the brain works, because a lot of stress management is really in the brain. Even though you feel like you don't have time to do what you need to do to take care of your body, but you can find time to do whatever else you want to do. So we have to dispel this notion that we don't know what to do or don't know how to do it or don't know what to do in terms of keeping the body healthy. You can tell when you are getting stressed, and that's the time you have to stop. You have to start doing those things like just breathing. Just breathe a little more. Breathe deeper. Drink more water. Stop eating the stuff that you know make you sick, like sugar, alcohol, smoking, all of those things. If you are under a lot of stress, you can do yourself a lot, a good amount of benefit by learning how to eat, learning how to eliminate those things that tear your stress system down or attack the immune system to the point to where it can't feed the cells and take the trash out and bring the nutrition in. And that process is how you keep your body healthy. And if you understand that process and practice that process, you can pretty much handle your stress. The stress will beat you down when you let it go to a point to where it turns into some kind of disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, or whatever you have, whatever you call it. The stress is a result of you not doing what you know you need to do to keep your body healthy. So that's why we've gone through this process this way, to try to get to the main thing you are trying to do with your body in terms of keeping it healthy is stress management. So if we learn how to handle the stress in a way that it doesn't manifest in some disease or allergies or another one I haven't named yet. But all of those things are stress because you are exposed to environments that your body can't handle. And if you don't realize that you're allergic to something, you may go on for years and years and not know that it's an allergy that you can control just by not eating a certain food. Most of the allergies come from, I would say, food that we eat or the environment. So if you having that problem, then you need to learn how to handle the allergy or learn how to handle stress in a way so that it won't aggravate the allergy, and just stop putting in your body the stuff that you know causing allergies, like sugar, alcohol, tobacco, meat, dairy. All those things create stress in the body because the body don't know what to do with it. It's not really a food that we should be eating because we are not designed to eat meat. Now, I know a lot of people just got to have meat. You can hardly go anywhere and find a vegetarian meal these days, even today. And we are still creating this same situation with our diet contributing to a lot of stress in the body that's creating a lot of the diseases that we are getting. So once we can understand that, then we can begin to work with it and start to peel away the things that we shouldn't be doing and replace them with something more nutritious or more healthy or a preventive way of living so that we don't get sick. So that would be my take on stress right now and how best to deal with it in a way that, your brain is functioning properly. You don't have to worry about whether or not you're going to have diabetes because you're not doing anything to cause diabetes. You don't have to worry about arthritis because you're not eating the food that's going to cause you arthritis. And once you get to that place, it's just your ability to stay there or to separate yourself from the rest of the world in a way that you may have to go to certain places to eat or fix your own food, because if you tend to do what the world is doing in terms of going out and eating all the time, you're going to put stress on the body that will eventually lead to some kind of disease.
You know, you mentioned, you mentioned managing stress, and I recently, well, not just recently, I've actually recently read it again, but I think it's been about 2 years now. Shechem Ashechem, Dr. Raul Nefamin, wrote a book called Stress Free for Life, and the subtitle is Manage Stress and It Will Hurt You, Might Even Kill You. Okay, and his premise is, again, it's called Stress Free for Life, Manage Stress and It Will Hurt You, Might Even Kill You. And his premise is that we can actually eliminate it altogether, okay? Mm-hmm. Because even if you manage it, then there's still it's still present. You're just managing it, okay? But he talks about our being, our identifying with the wrong image, okay? We don't, if you ask the average person, are you a human being, they'll say, yeah. But his position is that, no, we're divine beings, and that all of the problems in the world are caused by human beings, and that if we feel that as a human being that it's natural to get angry if somebody cuts us off in traffic, or it's natural angry if somebody says something about our mama, or it's natural, you know, to get angry if the supervisor at the job speaks to us in a tone that we don't like, you know, or if it's natural for us to worry when the bills need to be paid and we don't have the money, you know, or it's natural for us to grieve when a loved one dies, but at the same time, when all of these events occur, then certain chemicals are being released, toxic chemicals, cortisol being one, being released into the bloodstream, which have adverse effects on the body. And his position is that anything that's harmful to you cannot be natural to you. So if worrying, grief, and jealousy, and anger, and all of these things are harmful to the body, then they cannot be natural to you. And he posits that our natural state is peace. You know, so again, when we talk about stress, a lot of times people feel like, for example, if I have a job that there's a deadline that I have to meet and I'm behind, and it doesn't look like I'm going to make the deadline, and the supervisor made it clear I'd better make that deadline, you know, then I could feel, if I feel that it's natural for me to be stressed out under such situations, I could accept that and be like, okay, I can accept the stress and feel like, okay, I'm under this deadline, I know I'm not going to be able to reach it, they're going to fire me, you know. I could feel that it's natural for me to feel that way. But if in that same situation I understood the pressure that was there, but I understood that feeling stressed out about it is not my nature, then I can actually do something about it. But if I feel that it's natural for me to feel that way, then I'm going to, you know, accept the stress as being normal and not try to do anything, or I would at the very least try to manage it as opposed to trying to eliminate it altogether. Because if stress is not a part of our nature, then, you know, we can, and it makes sense to me that we could actually eliminate the stress from our life. Now, if we're talking about stress, for example, from another angle, that let's say, for example, if somebody's overweight, and as a result of them being overweight, then there's going to be stress put on the bones. You know, that's another kind of stress. You know what I mean? Or, you know, if you're overweight and there's going to be stress, and there's fat around the heart, you know what I mean? And there could be some stress going on in that way. But what did you think about that, as far as us being with the human identity and human, being the cause of all of the ills in the world? It's humans that do that. Humans are the cause of pollution. Humans are the cause of crime. Humans, you know, are the cause of everything that's bad. But if we actually replace that human identity or identification with a divine one, then when situations arise that as a human we would get angry about or worry about or stressed out about, we can actually shift and make another choice.
Absolute, I'll agree. The caveat there is that you have to love yourself to do that, and it's we are so messed up until we have a problem appreciating our bodies or appreciating ourselves to the point that we feel divine. And in order to be divine, you got to first feel divine, and then you have to love yourself enough to make that happen. So I would say to that, you may have to work on the spiritual side, which I say I think most of the diseases are really spiritual diseases, because this discomfort that comes with the body is it's really a spiritual problem. It's something in your life that you know you're not doing right, or should not, or you should be doing that you're not doing, or you are not doing what you should be doing, and that really goes to your spirit. And if you can get to your spirit level, which most of us, I don't even know, it's hard now to even see the spiritual side of people because we are so into being entertained and having what we want and doing what we want to the point to where we have kind of pushed God out. We don't really have a God anymore to the point to where we can say, I believe and I can trust and I have faith in my God to do what I want done for me. So you have to get to that point before you can eliminate it, I think, because without a spiritual being in your life, you're going to have a hard time being at peace. But if you think you can do it on your own and you have everything you want and you don't have to worry about how your bills are paid, you know, maybe you can do that. But most of us are not there, and I would say we would have to really rely on something greater than ourselves to get there, and that's what's missing in most of us. We have no belief in anything anymore, so we do what we want to do, how we want to do it, until we die.
You know, another thing he talks about is the stress response, that no situation in and of itself is stressful, you know, but it's our reaction to or our response to whatever the situation is, that the stress is in the response but not in the situation, because you could take the same situation and apply it to two different people, and one person may, you know, act a particular way and another person may not. So if it was in the situation or the event, then everybody would respond the same way. But, for example, you might take two people that get fired. One person feels like, okay, well, looks like I got to go start looking for another job. Another person looks like, he's like, well, looks like I got to go start looking for my gun because I'm going to go back up in there and shoot the whole joint up, you know.
That's what's happening today,
so,
right? That's what's happening today, right?
You're right about that.
Yeah.
That's true, you know. But if the response was, if the stress was in the event, then both people would be going and looking for their gun. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
What is it with one person that would cause one person to say, oh, hey, I can get another job. I didn't like that job. No way. You know,
yeah.
And the other person get ready to take a life, you know? So the stress has to be in the, in the response. And let's talk, if we could, for a moment, even as it relates to stress, about the ability to choose. Because if I don't feel that I have any choice,
yeah,
you know, but respond in a particular way, then
yeah,
the my whole parameters have been predetermined, and I'm going to behave in a particular way. For example, if I'm walking down the street with my lady and somebody says something foul out of the mouth, you know, if I feel like I have to, that my only response could be, you know, I got to go over there and get violent, you know, then that's gonna, you know, if I feel like I have to, because we're not really hardwired like that as people. We do have the ability to choose our response. Your thoughts?
Well, I think a reasonable person should be able to do that, but we are so, like I say, into our own self so much now that it's hard to imagine a person being able to take that kind of, I guess they would, you could call it abuse. If I feel like you're abusing me, I'm going to strike back out at you, and that's because I felt like you're abusing me. And then that's a conflict right there that you have to confront and deal with. And oftentimes the person that's offended or abused, they're out of control. That's what you're going to do with it. I can't tell you, well, I didn't mean to offend you. That's not going to help the situation at that time, because the damage is done and they are gone off the rocker, and it's too so far gone until the only thing left is to get my gun, and one of us going to die. But that's the kind of situation I see in terms of people are getting along today. I mean, it's just difficult to have a relationship where it's balanced enough where you respect each other and you can deal with each other's problems and you can really do that in a way that you don't offend each other and keep the relationship going. That's where we are today. We're so set in our ways now. We've been abused so much until we think that that's the way we should treat others. It just abused them back. So you have to really, again, take yourself back, learn how to live in a way that you can breathe and learn how to be in control of yourself. That's really the only thing you can control. And the problem comes is when you start controlling other people, you got to be careful with that because they may be offended by it, and then you got a disagreement that may fester for years before it's really resolved or lead to the destruction of the relationship. So learning how to be in a relationship and get along in a relationship is something that you have to learn, and no one is really teaching that, and that's something that we all need to a lesson in, I think, is because once it escalates to a place to where you're offended by what I've done or said, that's a conflict, and oftentimes the two people involved with it can't resolve it, and that's why you need counseling and all the other stuff that we go through these days. So you have to be mindful of that in your relationships that you may need a third arbiter to kind of come in and say, well, what's going on here? Can we talk about it? Can we get through it? And through that process, if you can get both people to engage, you may be able to work it through. But the two people alone may not be able to do that. That would be my take on how to deal with that kind of situation in terms of stress.
You know what's interesting too, Brother Coy, is that when we think about the purpose of life and why we are here, and that while we are here, that of course it is prescribed, I think, for us to grow, okay,
yeah,
into our spirituality. We're supposed to grow. We're not supposed to be the same, you know, as a baby as we are as a full-grown adult or even later into our years. We're supposed to grow. And I keep harping on the word grow because there has to be an impetus for that growth. There has to be something that has to spark that growth, you know. So it's not like when you, like in terms of height, you know, as a child, you don't have to do anything to grow. You're going to grow, you know. You're going to grow from age 1 to 2, from 2 to 3, and somebody hasn't seen you in 4 or 5 years, they're going to look at you, and they're going to be able to notice the growth immediately. Wow, you've gotten tall, you know.
Yeah.
But when it comes to your growth, you know, oftentimes what are viewed as challenges could actually be opportunities to grow. So if I view everything from the standpoint that this situation is against me, oh, they don't like me on the job, or, you know, they, you know, that person, they're hating on me, or whatever the case is, as opposed to taking the challenge and realizing that, oh, no, what I used to think was a stressor could actually be an opportunity for me to grow, then I think that takes, speaking of stress, that takes away the stress response if I understand that this situation was not sent to me to, quote, stress me out. It's not a stressor. It is actually an opportunity for me to respond peacefully, and as a result of responding in a peaceful manner, I can grow spiritually and in that obtain some power, some spiritual power. So if I know that, okay, this situation that some people might consider stressful was sent to me, okay, intentionally sent to me. It's not the individual. I can't look at the individual and say, oh, that person is against me, because that person is governed by a higher power too, Okay, so then I have to look at the higher power and say, okay, if this was allowed to come to me, and part of my reason for being on this planet is so that I can grow spiritually, something has got to spark that growth. Maybe it's this situation that I'm dealing with. Maybe it's this situation that I'm viewing as challenging, that if I change that thought and say, you know what, this isn't a challenge, this isn't an opportunity to get some power if I approach this situation that could be viewed as stressful in a peaceful manner.
Correct. I would concur with that also. But the other side of that is that's assuming that you were raised in a proper way with a father and a mother in a house with discipline and love. You are better able to do that than someone that may have a father that's not in the home or a mother that's on drugs and they basically have to raise themselves. A lot of us are in that situation, and you may deal with your situation in a way of that situation or your stressful situation in a way that works for you, and sometimes that may be picking up a stick and beating the object that you're mad at or taking it out on yourself by smoking or drinking or whatever you feel you need to do to overcome it, to handle that stress. So you have to come to an understanding of what's happening to you and understand that it's just a stressful situation, and that learning how to handle it will make the difference in terms of whether or not it make you sick or make you better, or you can grow beyond where you are, or will you get stuck as being an immature adult and not being able to enter into reasonable relationships with people in a way that you can get some benefit from it. So I think a lot of that is home training. You got to have that in order to really do a lot of this. And you got to have someone in your life that can give you some discipline, which is love, I'd say, in a way that will lead you in a positive way. Oftentimes, the persons in your life are not good examples, or they are not what they should be in terms of being an example for someone to come up with a good head on their shoulders and being able to make a contribution in life or being able to even control themselves. So that's kind of stuff you got to grow up with. You got to be taught. You got to learn. If you can do that, you have a chance. But it's much more difficult if you're coming from a place where you have been deprived of that, or you haven't been exposed to that. It's hard for you to understand what love is if you've never seen it.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. Everybody, my special guest is King Coy Dunston, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. To those that are listening online, if you'd like to speak with Brother Coy or make a comment, the call-in number is 347-324-5727. Again, that's 347-324-5727. If you're listening by phone and you'd like to join the conversation, just like to say hi, or you have a question for Brother Coy or my person, all you have to do is just press 1, and then I will see that, and then I can bring you on board, and you can ask your question and or make your comment. Brother Coy, you mentioned earlier high blood pressure is one of the, the results of stress. Stress can lead to that. Can we stay there for a second? Because there may be somebody out there that's dealing with high blood pressure, and because they may be under some pressure. They may be under a lot of pressure. But again, if you don't do something to eliminate, I'll use the word eliminate, the stress from your life, then one of the results of that could be high blood pressure, which could lead to other conditions as well, correct?
Correct. I would say that high blood pressure is a really good indication that you have had stress in your life, or even your parents could have passed the stress on to you. And I think in terms of black folks, I think that's a lot of the condition coming through slavery, being sub, subjected to not being able to do anything for yourself or anything that you wanted to do for yourself, and being abused and hung and all the other stuff that came with slavery, that goes in your DNA. And that DNA, until you learn how to clear your DNA, it could lead you back into the same kind of fear or defense mechanisms to compensate for that fear that you need to really get past that. So even if you think you're trying to do the right thing, you're eating right, the exercises, you're trying to get your mind right, all of that. Even so, your pressure still may be up, and that may be more of a hereditary issue than any other condition that you have, even the disease itself. Because if your pressure is out of control because of some submerged condition that you have suffered in your life, or your family have suffered, you're going to have to do some extra stuff to clear your DNA to get to a place to where you can really settle down, to where your pressure can be under your control and you don't have to worry about, stroking out. But oftentimes, most of us have not been given the kind of medical attention that we need to be able to do that. So we carry it from one generation to another, not knowing that we need to learn how to clean the DNA so that we can get that element out and it won't be passed along. But that's about the closest thing I know to an hereditary condition is high blood pressure, and it can be deadly and it can cause all kind of havoc in the system to the point to where you die with it, because we didn't learn how to eliminate the stress that's in our genes. That we still have the nightmares of seeing your father shot out or hung out in the yard or whatever. All of that stuff, it don't go away. It just gets pushed down and submerged in your DNA to a point to where you could actually pass it on to your children. And I think that's why we have such a problem with pressure, blood pressure, because it really puts a stress on the heart. Stress is probably more detrimental to the heart than maybe to the rest of the body. And if your heart is not correct, then your circulation is not going to be correct, and you're going to build on a situation where all of these things are going to compound themselves into a disease that you think you can't control, but it's really you're not able to control your mind to the point to where you can clear these things out of your DNA and be free from that kind of stuff and heal yourself. Until you can do that, you won't heal, and you'll continually carry that from one generation to another until you can get to a place to where you can clear it, or you will die.
Well, let's stick on the pressure for a second. Let's say, for example, you take somebody that has high blood pressure, and they're taking medication for the high blood pressure, but something actually caused the high blood pressure that caused the pressure to rise, okay, mm-hmm. Whether it's lifestyle, whatever, could be smoking, drinking, whatever, could be lifestyle, could be, a person, a pressure job or something, could be a pastor, having to deal with a whole bunch of people, a spiritual leader, got a whole bunch of people that they have to deal with. But now let's say this individual gets their blood pressure under control because they've taken the medication, but nothing else has changed except for the fact that you got your blood pressure under control because you're taking the medication, but the same issues that caused the pressure to rise are still present, whether it's diet, whether it's, dealing with the people that you got to deal with, the pressure in your life. The pressure's still there in your life, but the blood pressure is just under control because of the medication. Will that pressure in your life manifest as something else other than high blood pressure, since the blood pressure is taken care of?
where the blood pressure is not taken care of if you still got it in your life. If you have to depend on the medication, you still have a blood pressure problem. And over time, that medication is going to cause you, is going to cause your pressure to go up, or it's going to cause the conditions that comes from having high blood pressure. It may be temporary for now, but over the 20, 30-year period of taking a pressure medication to keep your pressure down is not a good idea in my book, because you're really not dealing with the issue that's causing you to have the pressure problem. You're just covering it up. It's like going out and getting drunk so you can forget about your life.
Hmm.
But when you wake up, you're still in your in that situation, and you still have to carry that burden. So if you take the drugs away, what would happen? They would probably get dizzy in the head and wouldn't be able to talk. Extreme high blood pressure can be debilitating, and it's like taking an aspirin for a headache. That's how that's where our medical system have taken us. Give us a pill to mask or cover or submerge the condition to the point to where we are, out of our mind or high or under the influence of some other drug that's really not answering the condition that you have, and you find yourself over time you're going to wind up with another stroke or heart attack or whatever, because the medication is not doing, is not getting rid of the real issue. The stress and trauma that's causing you to have the high blood pressure is still there.
Everybody, my special guest is King Coy Dunson. If you ever want to jump in the conversation, please feel free. All you have to do is press 1. Let's talk about meditation for a moment, Brother Coy. Studies have been done that have shown that, and there are, of course, different types of meditation. There are meditation, to help to reduce. One of the benefits of that is lowering blood pressure. They've actually, and I believe it was you that shared with me on a show once about they've done studies and they had actually taken prisoners, I believe it was, and found that those who started a meditation program, the violent prisoners, their incidences of violence were reduced dramatically. Was that you?
Probably. I have talked about that on occasion. But that comes from, that's a process of clearing your DNA, that meditation. That's one of the ways you can do that is meditate, clearing your DNA. You can meditate. The thing is focusing and learning how to meditate and what to meditate on, it will help you clear your DNA to a point to where you can actually, lower your, get control of your body functions. And that's another way to eliminate stress, because that's generally the underlying issue that you're dealing with, the stress. And once you learn how to clear that by getting control of yourself, centering yourself into that meditative state, you can begin to reverse or at least begin to eliminate some of the effects of the stress, the symptoms of the stress that you're dealing with. And that's how you can kind of come from a criminal mind to a civil mind by just getting control of your thinking and focusing on what you want in your life and how you want it. You can begin to reverse. If you say it, you can also do what they call when you say these things every morning in the mirror to yourself. It's a way of
affirmation.
You can again. It's training your brain to do what you want it to do, and that's a lesson that sometimes I think we probably all need affirmations more in our life, as well as meditation. All of those are ways to clear that DNA of all the negative stuff and elevate you to a place to where you can actually manage and control your own self. And that's really what life is about, managing and controlling your own self, because you really can't control anybody else.
You know, Brother Coy, This show has been about eliminating stress, the fundamentals of health. But I just want to ask a question because I want to ask this for somebody. I was speaking with a friend of mine earlier today, and she was mentioning that she had a cough that she's been dealing with for about a week. And she's been taking oil of oregano, I believe it was. I forget what else she said that she was taking. Any thoughts on how to get rid of a cough? And I'm sure that the cough is probably brought on by something. I'm not sure what, but any thoughts of as far as what to do to cleanse, I guess, there's another word I'm looking for, to cleanse, for lack of a better term, to cleanse, to open up the passageways in the lungs, the bronchial tubes or whatever, so that she could breathe easier without having to deal with the cough, or if it could be a tickling in the throat. I'm not sure what is causing it, but any thoughts on how to eliminate a cough?
Well, I mean, if it's just the cough it's not a chronic cough or consistent cough, probably just a matter of maybe she need to drink more water. That would be the first thing I would do. Look at the level of water you're drinking. Maybe the next time she goes to the doctor, she should make arrangements to have an allergy test. It could be something in that environment that she's allergic to. If you are taking a supplement, you know, we have been programmed to get the cheapest thing out there, and oftentimes, saying that most of us, that we want the cheapest thing. If you can get a bottle of Cascara for $5, but mine is $10, most of us are going to get the $5 bottle. That's just mm-hmm. human nature. But sometimes mm-hmm. you have to understand that you pay for what you get. So if you want a product to work, you may have to pay a little bit more because it may have been refined to the point to where it's a little stronger, and it can actually go in and do what you think it ought to do. And again, if you want to start taking supplements, you know, vitamin C, most of us get it from the drugstore, and it's just some flavored sugar pills that we take and we think we're taking vitamin C. But the vitamin C that we need is important to push things like that cough. It'll push it out or pull it up to a place to where you can actually get it unstuck. The lymphatic system may be stuck. You may have to learn how to breathe more. All of those things you would probably have to check off your list to make sure that what you are doing is going to be effective in terms of addressing your problem. So that would be my suggestion. Start with drinking more water, maybe doing more lymphatic exercises to help push the stuff out. If your supplements are not working, maybe look at who's making it and is it really a quality supplement. And then you may want to eliminate the allergy stuff around you. It could be something you're eating, something you're wearing, your detergent, your deodorant that you've been doing most of your life, and you feel like, you know, this is what you're supposed to do, but actually you may be allergic to it. So you have to really check down on everything you're doing to make sure that you are addressing whatever you are trying to address, in this case, the cough. But I'd definitely do the vitamin C, and I would definitely do, make sure you keep your nostrils and with the inhalers or something, or neti pots or whatever way you want to do it to keep that, get that bacteria out of your respiratory nostrils so that you can eliminate this stuff, breathe it out or blow it out. And oftentimes, if you check down like that, you will find that you will get to a place to where you can eliminate that kind of a condition when you feel it coming on. It's usually some indication or something you've done that have aggravated it to the point to where it's flaring up and it's stuck somewhere. So when you're dealing with a stuck situation, usually that's a lymphatic system problem, and you have to flush the lymphatic system and you have to exercise and you have to breathe, all of those things to help sometimes unstick the problem that you're dealing with so you can eliminate it.
Well, Brother Coy, the calls are coming in. You ready to take one?
All right, let's go.
Okay, I'm going to call out the last four digits of your number, 9303. You're on the air with King Coy Dunston. Thank you for your patience. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, brothers, and thank you, Brother Juwan, for asking the question, and thank you, Brother Boyd, for answering it.
Yes, sir.
Well, I have been drinking the water, and I have been taking the echinacea and the vitamin C, and I just got turned on to the oil of oregano. It's been marvelous. Eucalyptus in my nose. Shots of wheatgrass. Deep breathing exercises, as learned from Queen Afua. Meditation, and I think that that was very good analysis suggestions of what could cause it, and I feel that it is stress. It was the sudden weather change, and stress. I needed to finish up for the summer, and get on board with what I need to do as we enter the fall and the winter. So I'm very much intrigued by your analysis of stress being hereditary and therefore related to the high blood pressure conditions. And this has been under discussion with fellow analysts, we who are in my circle is the 50 plus something, 60 plus somethings who are handling on both hands, in both hands, those who are coming behind us and our elders, as we are going into our eldership. So we're working on it. My name is
Jerry. Can I ask you a question?
Yes, please.
What state are you in?
New York, Brooklyn.
Okay. All right. Well, that's, it just came to mind that we just had this bad storm come through, and it tore up the South, where a lot of the pig farms are, where a lot of the poultry is raised. I think a lot of that stuff, we're going to have some conditions that we're not used to or that are not normal as we go into this winter, because all of that stuff is in the air and it's coming, flowing wherever the wind is blowing. So that the pig pens, that stuff is deadly. It's like nuclear waste, and you can't really get rid of it.
Yeah.
So you may want to be mindful of that. So be careful in terms of making sure you do what you need to do to keep your immune system open.
Yes, and keep my stress level down.
Stress down, yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing.
Sometimes you just got to take it. Sometimes you just step back. I mean, when you have deadlines and, that sort of thing, just the pressure of life, the pressure of every day, making commitments, that sort of thing, sometimes you have to step back, and just for your own health's sake, and even if it's telling somebody, listen, I know I said, that I would have this done by such and such a time, but, hey, I've got to, slow down before I fall down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Exactly. One of the things that I did, what is this? This is Friday. I'm gonna say from Tuesday to this morning is putting a good night's sleep,
yeah,
as opposed to being on the computer and trying to catch up and keep up.
Okay.
I just turned off the computer, turned off the light, pulled up the covers, and went to sleep. How marvelous.
Yeah.
How marvelous.
Yeah. You have to rest, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's pretty much like the main thing that I would like to offer is that we need to catch up on our rest. We need to get our rest.
Yeah, we just go and not realize that we are not made to do that, and it begins to affect you in certain ways that you can really eliminate if you just stop and breathe and rest and sleep and just
drink water and take your vitamin C.
There you go. You'll feel like a new person the next day.
I have your friends looking out for you. Thank you, Brother Juanza.
No problem. Thank you so much for calling in.
Okay.
Great to hear your voice. Peace.
Thank you.
All right. Peace and blessings.
Thank you.
Brother Corey,
thanks for the call.
Yes. Can you tell people about your establishment? Midnight Corey's got a shop, okay,
yeah,
in Washington, D.C., called Secrets of Nature, that he started as a result of the awesome work that he did getting his mother back to health, and decided to share that information, wanted to share it with everybody. He started a establishment in Washington, D.C. It's currently called Secrets of Nature. Brother Quick, could you tell people about your shop, about what it is that you do there, and the services that you offer, and how people can get in contact with you?
Well, we have a kind of a full-service health food store. We carry the herbs and the vitamins, the herbs, we have the bulk herbs, like the loose herbs, right out of the field, and we also have them packaged and labeled in containers manufactured in America. We have the food because we think that learning how to eat is important enough to at least provide an alternative to the way we generally eat. We have consultations. If you have a question, a problem, or you just want to call or stop by, you can come in and we can show you what we have to offer. And if you need a product or you want something sent, just call and ask, or hopefully soon we'll be online and you can go online and order it, I think, locally. But that's kind of what we do. We do the food, we do the supplements, we do the consultations, we do a thing called iridology to actually find out what's going on in the body. And with that, we can begin to address the specific condition that we see in a way that is more exact in terms of what we are dealing with, because oftentimes we don't know what the condition is, and the iris can tell us or pinpoint exactly what's going on with you to the point to where you can really tell what area your body is affected. And we try to do that in a way that it's beneficial to people. So we do phone consultations. You can come in. We have the supplements that we think are the best that you can get, and we have that, and we have the ones that are loose that a lot of people like the loose herbs, because we're learning how to do a lot of stuff with the loose herbs, a lot of the energy moving or DNA clearing. We use the herbs for that. And the best food in town, I think, is the food at Secrets of Nature. We have a vegetarian menu, I think, second to none. And if you're ever in the area, stop by and have a bite with you while you're on the road, and we'll make you feel at home and hopefully have some good food for you. And any questions or comments that you have, we can sit and talk about them and go from there in terms of what we can do.
You know, and I encourage everybody to get by there, too. I remember one of the listeners described the shop, Secrets of Nature. She called in and gave her testimony about getting over there Queen Renee said that it was like being in your mother's kitchen, you know? So that's home, right? You know you're home then, right? So
when you hit the dough, you smell
the aroma.
Area.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And my thing is, every time I stop past Secrets of Nature, it's almost inevitable. You're going to run into somebody that you know.
Yes,
you
sir.
Know, and the people are always very, very helpful. It's a place where it's just, it's family. You know, it's family. One of those spots in D.C. that everybody that's in the know, if you're in the holistic health field, everybody knows about Secrets of Nature. You know, it's just, it's one of those spots where our people go, you know. Everybody knows Brother Coy, you know. So, again, if you're in the area, or even if you're not in the area and you need particular items, you know, certain, you know, whether it's herbs or, you know, whatever it is that you might need, give Brother Coy a call. You still have books, Brother Coy?
Still have books, yeah.
Okay.
You know, most books now
are
sold on online. You know, you can hardly find a bookstore now. But we still have a few books around that particularly dealing with the herbs and body conditions you can pick up and thumb through. And we still have books, yes.
What about for the caller who called in, her condition dealing with the cough, would sea vegetation be a benefit to her, Brother Coy? I know you're high on sea vegetation.
Well, I think sea vegetation is probably the best thing you can put in your body because it has a natural resistance to all the toxins and all the other stuff that's in the environment. But, yeah, there is a formula by Wachter's called WDC, which is the respiratory formula, and that's what it does. It helps open up the respiratory system and clear it out. And just in general, if you just want to eat, we have on the menu a seaweed salad. That's a raw seaweed salad that is made with basically vegetables and seaweed, and we recommend that you eat that, and if you do, that'll also us another way to get the sea vegetation in you. But the sea vegetation contains all the vitamins and minerals known and unknown to man. So you can't go wrong by adding that to your diet.
Mm. Everybody, as we're making the transition from the summer into the fall, again, this is that time of year where a lot of people are coming down with stuff. I mean, a lot of people are getting colds and that sort of thing. So you can get the sea vegetation. Brother Coy sells it. Right, you still got some, right?
Yeah,
I mean, get it from you, right?
Yes, yeah, probably right now, probably my best-selling supplement, the sea vegetation,
because
it works.
All right,
but they're not cheap, so. But you can get it in a reasonable. You can get a reasonable price range too, but when you get into some of the professional formulas, they get kind of pricey. But you get what you pay for.
And let me say this: I just want to say that health is its own reward. You know, health is its own reward. So when, you know, like Brother Coy just mentioned, the sea vegetation, it might be pricey or whatever, but what price tag would you put on your health?
That's
you know, right. A lot of times people are looking for something more than health, but health is its own reward. If you are taking care of your body, if you are taking whatever the supplements you need to take care of, you're fasting, you're juicing, you're getting the vitamin C in you, you're taking your herbs, the reward is that you don't get sick.
Right.
You know, you might not walk around, you might not sprout wings and fly, but you can walk. You know what I mean?
Correct.
You know, you're not sick. That's the reward. The reward is that you're not sick. The reward is that you're able to live your life, do whatever it is that you need to do, go where you need to go, see who you need to see, conduct the business you need to conduct without the interruption of having to go to the doctor, without the interruption of you know, having to spend 2 and 3 days, you know, out of commission because you're not feeling well. That's the reward. Reward is that you don't get sick, correct, Coy?
That's correct. I mean, we were talking about loving yourself. And if you would spend $40 on a bottle of bourbon, but you want the cheapest vitamin you can get, we have to look at that and figure out why that is. And you have to begin to reverse that thinking to a place to where you want the best, the absolute best you can get at all times to put in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise,
mm-hmm.
You're shortchanging yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody, I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. I mean, Brother Coy, again, is a regular, comes on every first Thursday normally. Today we did a special Friday show, but normally every first Thursday of the month, Brother Coy comes on. We're in the middle of a series called The Foundations of Health. We've talked about we talked about herbs, we talked about fasting, we did an overview, we talked about digestion, assimilation, and elimination. I know I'm leaving one out, Brother Coy. But go back.
The brain, yeah.
And yes. Exercise in the brain.
Yeah.
So definitely, everybody, go back in the archives and scroll down, and you'll see those shows. Again, to the caller who called in midnight, if you want to follow the show, you'll be notified every time I do a show, and then you'll be notified of the date, the time, the topic, and the guest. So if you go to – well, I'll text you the number, and then you can go there, and if you're interested in following the show, you can do that. And for everybody, if you'd like to get in contact with me, then there's a way through Blog Talk that you can send me a message. You can let me know if you're enjoying the shows. I know you are. The numbers are growing. And, you know, if you have ideas for guests, please let me know. We've got, again, an awesome archives, I mean, full of healers and spiritual teachers, I mean, from Shechem Ashechem, Dr. Raun Nephi Amen, and priests and priestesses of the Osiris Society to Queen of Fua. If you're interested in entertainment, we got Melba Moores in the archives. I mean, we've got Margaret Shug Avery is in the archives. Again, Brother Coy comes on once a month. Dr. Ruby Lathan, who cured herself of thyroid cancer, she comes on once a month. Dr. Watkins is a regular on the show. So by all means, scroll down the archives and you'll see some shows that are very, very enlightening to you. Again, my name is Juwan. Brother Coy, any parting words for our listeners tonight on eliminating stress? Anything that we didn't cover that you'd like to make mention of?
Well, I mean, basically covered most of it. The idea is that we have this university of health that I like to call it. And if you have any questions or want to learn how to do something or want to learn about something, I would encourage everybody to go on to the archives, go into the archives and begin to educate yourself. Just listening, and if you have questions, you know, contact the person and get involved with your own life and in your own health, and you'll find that you'll be better off for it.
Well said, my brother. Again, everybody, make sure you give Brother Coy a call. Write this number down. It's his number to the shop, Secrets of Nature, 202-562-0041. Again, that's 202-562-0041. Again, I highly recommend everybody get this book. We can't talk about stress without talking about Stress-Free for Life, written by Shechem Ashechem, Dr. Raun Nephi Amen. The subtitle is Manage Stress and It Will Hurt You, Might Even Kill You. Stress-Free for Life. We want to eliminate stress. How do you get this book? Go to www.taui, that's T like Tom, A-U-I, network.com. I believe it's .com. If it's not .com, try .org. But it's www.TawiNetwork.com, I believe it is, and get this book. I mean, he goes into the scientific aspects of stress. I mean, really a really deep and in-depth breakdown of the brain even and the effects of stress on the brain. So, again, I want to thank everybody for your time. Like I said, you could be doing anything, but you've taken time out of your day to spend it with my person, Brother Coy. Again, Midnight, thank you so much for calling in, my sister. Hope you don't be a stranger. Hope to hear from you again on the shows. Again, I really appreciate you. Hope that you heard some information that was beneficial to you. To all of the new listeners, I want to say thank you so much for your time. Make sure you get by to see Brother Coy again, 202-562-0041. Brother Coy, I will be in touch, my brother. Thank you so much for another awesome, awesome interview.
And I thank you, sir, for having me.
My pleasure. Everybody, my name is Juwanza. Again, scroll down the archives and see what you see. I guarantee you, you'll want to refer that information about the show and the archives and the guests to other people. Again, thank you so much for your time. My name is Juwanza. Who am I? I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you? It's a poo.